This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mirrors TV podcast in reality. Every week we talk about our favourite shows that are on at the minute, and this week it's going to be all about The Apprentice. Everything that we've done so far, all the episodes, you can get on iTunes and Audioboom. So don't forget to give us a subscribe and leave a comment, let us know what you think. I'm Vicky Newman from the online showbiz team, and I'm joined with my colleague Kyle O'Sullivan, and also we've got a very special guest. It's the big K himself, Karthik Nageson.
Thank you for having me, Vicky and Kylo. It's a very big honour to be speaking on this podcast, courtesy of the Mirror.
Definitely. How are you doing, Karthik?
Doing very well indeed. Yet another year has run by. I mean, time flies so fast. I was on The Apprentice same time last year. Now it's another group of people being broadcast into our living rooms.
How are you feeling, Karthik? Are you feeling jealous of those people going on that journey now?
Absolutely not. But, you know, when I did see all the candidates in the first episode last week, I thought, you know what, maybe this is a series I should have been in. I guess we all feel the same way.
What do you think about the contestants so far? Obviously, we've not seen much of them yet.
Yes, I mean, only one episode has gone by, hasn't it, so far? And, you know, and their introduction tapes always are, you know, make them seem so naff, like just like mine was. And the thing is, the audition process or the selection process is so difficult and so strenuous that by the time you come to giving that little video that they publish on YouTube at the end of the day, you've been, you know, sat there for about 8 to 10 hours. So you're really tired. And they come up with these funny lines on camera. So what I know or what I think of these candidates is I think there is potential there. There are some who are obviously from the left field, if you like, some there just to mix things up and keep it an entertaining TV show, because at the end of the day, that is what it is. It is a TV show,
yeah,
with a business theme. So while, yes, the investment of £250,000 is real, and yes, the businesses are real, it makes us money. I mean, you know, it's a BBC, so it's TV license, but its core foundation is based on getting people to see it, so it has to be entertaining.
Of course. What made you want to do it last year then?
In my case, well, it's very interesting when I say this when people ask me. It was my wife. She was the one who said, you know what, you'd be very good on this show. And I was on a working holiday all the way out in New Zealand. I flew back, we got married, and she said, you applied for The Apprentice. I applied and I got in. And I was like, well, okay, so I got married and I'm on The Apprentice. Excellent.
What a year.
What a year indeed.
I mean, do you look back on it fondly? Do you have any regrets about your time on the show?
I mean, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And for a boy who flew into the UK from India 12 years ago, became a British citizen 6 years down the line, you know, got his first flat on a property in London a few years later, then on The Apprentice, then on The Big Brother. I mean, I am blessed, I am lucky, and it's thanks to the wonderful people who have been around me all this time, beautiful family. So, you know, yes, I look back on it with sort of fondly, as you said, with great love, and I'm very happy to have been sort of, you know, been made a part of it.
So when you're doing the VTs and stuff, Karthik, do you feel the pressure to come up with these great one-liners? And I don't know, did people call you the Big K before The Apprentice, or was that a thing that came from that?
Well, first I called myself the Big K, and then I called myself the Big K so many times that people started calling me the Big K. Yeah, and then I started to like it, so I just kept going with it. That's me being brutally honest with you. The one-liners, I mean, I guess the way I talk, I mean, I'm the what you see is what you get kind of guy, but I like to think of myself, and here comes my big ego into the room, as somebody who is clever but funny, intelligent but quirky. So that's just me, you know, singing my own praises as I normally do on The Apprentice. So the one-liners, I think, were always there. I didn't make them up or somebody didn't tell me, but you know, these are statements that I never thought were one-liners, but when then I said them on the show, and then they were on t-shirts afterwards, and people were talking about them, and they're like, Karthik, what's this about being water in a cup in a teapot? Where's that coming from? Like, that's the Karthik. Karthik is it's a one-liner. And it just took off from there, really.
You were the king of them, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I should say that Lord Sugar's joke writer is almost as good as I am.
I mean, you were obviously quite a fan of the show then. Obviously, if you and your wife had discussed it and everything, and she'd sort of suggested that you go on it. You know, did you used to watch every year?
Yeah, I mean, I started watching it when I first met my present, I mean, my wife, of course, the only one I have. And my fiancé at that time, and my girlfriend at that time, that is my wife now.
Yeah.
And she was the one who was suggesting, my wife was the one who was suggesting that we watch the show because she was an avid fan. Mm-hmm. I started watching it, I liked it, followed the episodes, and then one day we said, okay, you know what, let's give it a go. I just walked in. And the thing is, it's in London, and I don't exactly live in London. I live in the East Midlands in a little town called Kettering.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the previous night before the audition doing the thing that you absolutely should not do before such an audition. I spent the night partying away in a friend's house. And you know, I woke up, nice blazing hangover, put on a suit, had a shave, and said, okay, let's skip the shower for now. Let's go do the audition. And I made it. So, my God, I couldn't believe my luck.
No, it was definitely, a stroke of luck to get on the show. I imagine a lot of people apply for it, but, you know, you're obviously a big character and they must have seen that right from the start.
I mean, absolutely. Also, this is my sort of business side thinking about why I got selected. And I'm thinking, this is the BBC. It's funded by the TV, you know, the license payer. They do need to represent people from all over the country, from all cultural backgrounds. So I probably was not competing against every single person auditioning. I probably was competing against my specific demographic, whatever they think that might be, and therefore I really had to beat those kind of people. There must be one of me every time, right? There must be one person like that.
There's no other Karthik in the world.
Yeah, dude, I was the only monobro auditioning, I think, so to that extent I was lucky.
So, Karthik, I don't know if you saw today, but Lord Sugar went on Good Morning Britain with Piers Morgan and they went head to head. And Piers sort of insinuated that the show's quite heavily edited to suit Lord Sugar, and you sort of mentioned the jokes writer there. How different is what we see on screen to what actually happens?
Well, I don't know any joke writer, to be honest. Yeah, so don't say something that gets not true. I can't compete with him in open court. Well, I think there is a joke writer because, you know, his one-liners are almost as funny as mine, and that's saying something. So I'm guessing there must be somebody in the background who sort of, you know, the task is finished and Lord Sugar has his time, has his debrief with,
advisors?
Some minions. Oh, sorry, yeah, advisors. I was calling them sidekicks.
Well, they are sidekicks too. Yes, yes. It's not wrong.
Sort of, he has his time there. So I'm guessing, since it is a TV show at the end of the day, and Lord Sugar has this, just like I have this image of being the guy with the funny one-liners and this quirky, loud character, he is also a quirky, loud character. He also has his one-liners. He's like me, but, you know, slightly older, I guess, slightly elder.
And a bit more serious.
Maybe. So that's why I think there is somebody there maybe who's, you know, just sort of making it a little bit more, who's adding in the showmanship, if you like. I'm not saying it is artificial. No way. I was in the process, and being the BBC, they take extra efforts to make sure everybody's fair and everything is fair. And one team, if it gets, for example, you know, the cameramen have to have a break, right? The camera people
of course,
have to have a
yeah.
break. So they say if team A has a break, then team B also should have a break. So if one team gets 2 hours to discuss a task, the other team also should get only 2 hours to discuss a task. So I have seen it be absolutely fair. And they take very good care of the candidates. You know, obviously, they don't want anybody to go out and say they did this, they did that, they didn't feed us or something. So, you know, they give us good things to eat and all that. They take good care of us.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the edit happens, you know, the camera doesn't lie. Nobody acts in front of the camera. So it's not like, you know, you're carrying a box of eggshells and you trip and they say, oh, you know, go run again and trip because we want to capture that on camera. They don't say that. That's what's made up. That doesn't happen. What they might say is, when you made this decision of where to go for the blue bottle instead of the red bottle, we didn't catch it on camera. And if it's not on camera, it doesn't count. Because mm-hmm. if the task is lost or won because of that, then what are we going to show the public?
Yeah, of course.
So that's why at that point they'll say that again, so we know that it is your decision that you did this. So again, that is one way you could say it's made up, but another way you could say that's actually capturing the essence, because then it shows the reader what really happened. The viewer what really happened. So that's all I have to say about that. Other than that, none of this makeup malarkey and sort of, you know, made up thing, that none of that happens.
Yeah, there was obviously when it returned last week, there was some questions about why initially the teams are still separated as men and women. What do you think about that?
Oh my God, I'm going into dangerous territory here. Well, I think that's just, I mean, you know, Lord Sugar is born in the last century. So, I mean, maybe he just comes from, I'm just joking, Lord Sugar, don't sue me. I just think that, you know, maybe he comes from a time and an age, from a place not so far away, that where maybe he likes to see it this way, you know, boys versus girls, and then mix them up a bit later and then see what happens. Just to see the dynamics, really, and then take it from there. What else can I say? I mean, he could mix it up from the get-go, but maybe it adds to... There's 12 weeks to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them, okay, semi-final and final. So there are 10 tasks to get through. So if you know, if he starts mixing from episode 1... then all the producers tell him to mix it from episode 1, because sometimes they advise him on what to do, I think, anyway, I don't know. Then it could be that, you know, it's just the same old for all 10 episodes. So maybe they do want that boys versus girls for one or two episodes to make it seem a bit more interesting for the viewership angle, and then he mixes it up. So, you know, it's him, his decisions as well with the team as to what happens and the dark, but obviously... but like Lord Sugar will not have the time to go and do all the R&D and all the research for all these tasks.
Yeah,
it's all done by the production team. So a lot of the show is actually a show, and it's done by the production team. Lord Sugar comes in, and his decision, because his investment is in that part, is on his own. But he gets a lot of help in terms of the show being built, and, you know, the taxis have to be, and somebody's got to do all that logistics and work. So that's the production part of it. So it's not just him who's doing it. He's a player in the game, if you like.
One thing I've always wondered about the show, so, you know, in the morning the phone rings and it's at a random ungodly hour, and it's like, oh, the cars are going to be outside for you in 20 minutes, and then suddenly, in just those 20 minutes, all the girls are sort of, the hair and makeup's perfect, all the men are in sort of pristine pressed suits. Like, what time does everyone actually get up? You don't get up when that phone rings, do you?
Well, I'll tell you this, and you are a very clever couple of people, and so are I, so are your wonderful listeners. Hello, listeners. I'll tell you this. The cars are there in 20 minutes. I'm not going to say if they leave in 20 minutes, though. Full stop.
Interesting.
That's like a riddle.
Yeah, so the cars will be there in 20 minutes. They may not leave in 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They may leave 2 hours later.
Oh.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, think about it.
Just left running on the meter.
Yeah. Meter's running.
With the amount of money they've got, it doesn't matter. The other thing is, if you notice last week's episode, they let slip a little bit in the edit. The person who came to pick up the phone actually was half-dressed. So that shows you that probably not everybody wakes up when the phone rings and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that, because usually it's someone who's like, they're running out of bed down the corridor to get the phone in the pyjamas, aren't they? So that spoiled it a bit, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if you have a set of TV crew all around, nosing around, watching you make your hair or go to the toilet or brush your teeth. are you not going to see like 5 men or women standing around with cameras, and you're just going to see them when the phone rings? I mean, think about it. But yes, it keeps the illusion up, and that's what's nice about the show.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously you're going to be watching week to week, I'm assuming. You're not going to miss an episode.
No, I'm not going to miss a single episode. And there's, because I'm very interested in The Apprentice. And of course there's another reason, but yes.
Yeah, but you've got some exciting news as well, haven't you, about...
I do. I can see you just sort of fishing and fishing and fishing, and hopefully I'll hook, I'll bite. Okay, so I am joining the team at The Mirror as a columnist for The Apprentice. Reviewing every single episode starting from today, week 2. I will be reviewing every single episode all through to the final. This information has not been released by me or by The Mirror yet. they were probably going to, you know, release this before the show was broadcast. But since you are part of the Mirror family, you can have the scoop, my dear friends. My dear friends.
The exclusive.
Please be ever so grateful to me in the future.
We're very happy to have you, Karthik.
Thank you so much. You're very kind. I mean, yes, so I will be writing a column in the Mirror, reviewing every week's episode, which should go out just after the show is broadcast. And it will have, you know, my infamous or famous character and one-liners sprinkled all throughout.
I'm sure it will. It'll be a great read.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get me sued, because it's my first foray into you know, print media. So I just have to watch what I write. And I've got nobody to guide me. So, ha ha, you wait for it, people. It's coming hard.
So, Karthik, I don't know if you've seen today, there's rumours that two of the current contestants have had sex while in the house during their time on the show.
They've had sex?
Yeah.
That sounds wet.
And Anissa and Andrew, apparently, but she was engaged at the time and has since married a fiancé. But, yeah, apparently, when they were in the house together, they got it on.
Big Brother, just without the cameras.
Yeah,
well, what a pair of consenting adults do in their own spare time is up to them, I would say.
Yeah, but is it true that there's a sex ban?
I can't tell you whether somebody did have intercourse in the house or not. I wasn't there to see it or film it. However, I can tell you this, that the staff are, you know, the staff that are in the house that you never see on camera, they take care of the candidates, because they don't just leave you in the house. There's always people around the house to make sure you don't talk about the task. Because, again, if it's not on camera, it did not happen. So there are people all the time around you saying, no task talk, and so on and so forth. So you only talk about it in front of the camera. Now, these people also, for some reason, make sure that, you know, you don't get too cozy or comfortable physically with members of the same or the opposite sex, whatever be your fancy. Now, that could be, I think, because if you do get close that way, then maybe it may affect your performance in task. You may not want to bring so-and-so into the boardroom because you have, you know, whatever you have with them. So it could be because of that. Like I said, fairness is the foundation for everything. They represent the Boundless, the company that is actually packaging the show, filming and packaging the show for the BBC. Obviously represents the BBC through this work, and they have to be seen to be very, very fair, and therefore any chance that there could be some sort of collusion between the candidates has to be prevented, I guess. And I think this is my opinion, one man's opinion, that maybe that's why they say, you know, let's be a bit, you know, don't get too sort of pally or too friendly, because do the task as if you're sort of competitors, and then do it properly. That's why, I think. So no, I have not seen anything happen. People might get friendly, yes. Relationships or friendships might blossom or might show the promise of blossoming outside. But the whole thing happens so fast, and you're in and out of there before you can, you know, before anything can sort of happen. So that's what I have to say about that. Maybe something happened when I didn't see. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't filming it. I got no photographs.
That's what you say.
I don't even have any dreams or nightmares that I wake up from. So, hey.
But how is it, Karthik, sort of being, you dropped in the house, especially in the early stages when there's quite a lot of contestants, emotions running high. How do you deal with that?
The Apprentice is a business themed TV show. Everybody's dressed formally. It affects you, and you think, okay, you know, we've got to maintain a certain decorum. We've got to maintain a certain professional outlook and image, and therefore you don't have like the loud squabbles and things like that. But then that's why the show is structured in such a way that you have just enough or less time to do your tasks, so that tempers can flare up a little bit, and therefore so that deadlines are missed, so that mistakes are made. Because if everything was hunky-dory and you were given as much time as you wanted, then how would the show be interesting? So, you know, to that extent, when the emotions do flare up, when the conditions are structured by the production team, just right to, you know, so that you might just miss a deadline. You might just have to, you know, step on each other's toes to get the work done for the team. That's when sort of the, you know, what the Indian word for spice masala happens, you know, the spice happens. Because that's when you find people getting frustrated, people getting angry, people start blaming each other, covering their own backsides, and so on and so forth. So yes, that does happen. We are all human beings, and when we're pushed into a corner under pressure, we do sometimes crack. I did too last year in the second episode. I blew up at the project manager because I felt he was being very stiff and was not listening to his team members.
Mm.
But it happens to all of us. But other than that, once the cameras stop, if you like, or you know, even when the cameras are rolling, but it may not make the edit, we just hi-fi and we say, you know what, it was a bit of a pressure cooker in there. It's okay now. Let's move on.
So, which house is easier to live in, the Apprentice house or the Celebrity Big Brother house?
I would say the Apprentice house is easier to live in. The Big Brother house is the better experience because you're on camera, and it's just a whole new sort of world that opens up. I mean, you scratch your face or any other part of your body, the nation can see it. You know, you go to the toilet, the nation can see it, and it's just a completely different experience. You certainly have sex, the nation will see that as well.
Indeed.
But in The Apprentice, it's more, we're all a bunch of colleagues. This is our downtime. The cameras are not rolling. Chill out, relax, have some food, have a chat. So The Apprentice house is more chilled out, and it's nice to be with a fellow bunch of professionals, probably from different walks of life, but they all come from a business perspective. Celebrity Big Brother, it's, obviously got celebrities from A-level to Z-level to wannabe to has-beens, people like me as well. So you may not actually find somebody that anybody at all that you connect with on any normal plane. Whereas in The Apprentice, because everybody's coming from a business background, there is somebody or the other that you will connect with. So to that extent, yes, the Celebrity Big Brother house is the more challenging one, is what I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, you must have been really excited to be asked to go into the house, though, on the back of The Apprentice.
Oh, yes. I mean, this was the first year where two candidates from the previous year's Apprentice made it into the Big Brother. So there was Jessica and Jan, there was Karthik in August.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, before this, there's never been two candidates from The Apprentice, so it must have made a bit of an impression. Hey! So that's good. I'm very happy. And who gets to say that, man? You come to the country, you become a British citizen, you get, you buy a property in London, you get into The Apprentice, you get into the Big Brother, you write for the Mirror. I mean, wow! So yes, I am so happy. I'm smiling from ear to ear. And it's not due to me, it's due to the people around me. I'm just truly grateful. It was amazing to get into the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
I was in the Celebrity Big Brother in the UK, man. Wow.
I bet it was
I'm writing for the Mirror.
Don't get better than that.
That's the best part, obviously. it must have been an amazing experience, but, it did seem very tense at times as well. And it's quite difficult, people say, to be in that bubble. Did you find it hard at times?
Yes, I did find it hard at times. I mean, the thing is, I'm used to, being around a bunch of people from all different backgrounds and countries that I don't know at all and getting along with them because I'm an avid traveler. I've traveled to, 40, 50 countries. I've been around the world, literally started west and came from the east, traveled around the world a few times. So having done that and, being in hostels around the world and hotels when you've got 50 people in the room with you, I thought, okay, people in the house, you share the kitchen, you share the bathroom, it's going to be great. However, this was a competition, and everybody except me was actually an established, ex-celebrity or current celebrity. Nobody was a lot current, I think, but most of them were ex-has-beens or wannabes or just getting there.
Mm.
But a lot better than I was, anyway. They were a lot better than a candidate from The Apprentice who got out on week 7, for example. So I found that getting in there, some of them were pretty switched on about what they need to do in terms of getting viewers. So, causing squabbles or just sort of, throwing, baiting people. And I bit the bait a few times as well. But then I thought, I've got something to lose. If I come out of the Big Brother house and my celebrity career doesn't take off, I don't get a presenting gig or a writing gig, as a travel presenter or show host or something, which is what I want to do. If that doesn't happen, then I have to go back to IT. And if I say or do something that is uncouth or unacceptable in for the general society in the Big Brother house, then I could become unemployable as an IT consultant. I'd say, oh, this is the guy who said that, this is the guy who did this, not in our office. So that's why I probably had to tone it down a little bit. On The Apprentice, everybody was formal, so there, me being a little quirky helped me. But in the Big Brother house, to be quirky with all the other quirky celebrities, you have to really go into the obtuse angle, you have to really go to the other side. And I was a bit wary of doing that in the Big Brother house, which probably meant, which probably was one of the reasons why sort of people didn't say, I want to see more of Karthik. Like, he's causing a lot of trouble. He's stirring up a lot of, you know, that lovely stuff. And I want to see more of him. Because I was just being a bit careful about my career once I got out of the Big Brother house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that definitely, that makes sense. There's a fine line to tread, isn't it? Have you spoken to, do you still keep in touch with any of your housemates from Big Brother? We've heard like Paul Janan saying there's a WhatsApp group and things like that. Is there any of that going on?
I have no clue. So if there is a WhatsApp group that Paul Janan is managing, he has immediately failed to mention it to me.
I mean, it's rumoured. I mean, Sarah and Chad are rumouredly not in it either, so...
Okay, well...
Karthik, me, you and Kyle have a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, involving your WhatsApp group. Well, I can tell you about WhatsApp group for the apprentices and the apprentices alumni, and there's a lot of good stuff going on there. But then again, the you know, so-called celebrities in the Celebrity Big Brother house, I'm not going to use the word airhead, okay? And I'm not going to use the word extremely intelligent either. But I am going to say that somebody with, say, my background, and I'm a computer science engineer with about, you know, 12 to 13 years of experience in the industry, I probably did not connect with a lot of them in different planes, really.
Yeah.
Now, for example, one of the people I did connect with was Sean, and I am in touch with Sean Williamson. I'm asking him for acting tips, because the way I see it, I can either be, if the celebrity life for me is supposed to work out, instead of me going back into IT and only focusing on business, which I am anyway, then I have to learn acting and I have to try for presenting. So I have an agent who's out there trying to get me a presenting gig, if I'm famous enough, I'll hopefully get one. And then with Sean, I said, Sean, can you give me tips? How do I get into acting? Theater, film, TV? Let me give it a shot, see if I'm any good. So he's guiding me on that. He's giving me some connections and some tips, so that's very good.
Yeah, that would be so cool. And, what do you think you'd like to do? What sort of show?
Well, I mean, I'd like to be a presenter, because I think I am somebody who hosts corporate award ceremonies and cultural nights, and I'm a presenter on stage. And get this, I was hosting a live phone-in show in India during my university days. That was funny.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like back in the 90s, you had a show in, like, you know, the MTV and stuff in the UK.
Yeah.
Where you'll have, like, a presenter talking into the camera, but then somebody's voice will come in from the side as if they're on the phone. Oh, hello, Michael. How are you? And then Michael's voice will sound. And say, hi, Michael, and then here's the number for you. And then they, you know, play a music track for this gentleman who's calling in on the phone.
Yeah.
So I was doing that in India live. So I was like, okay, I wanna do something similar, maybe a travel-based show, because I'm such an avid traveler.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I told my agent to sort of, I've instructed the gentleman, and he has connections in the industry, so hopefully something will come around, and then they'll say, you know what, Karthik, you'd be good in this kind of show. Or there was a show on, I think, Channel 4 called Street Mate, where the lady who won Celebrity Jungle last
Scarlett
year,
Muffet.
Walmart, was going and making, like, so I was like, wow, that's cool. Because back in the day, I used to take a bunch of boys to Europe and get them to learn the game.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah, just for fun, because maybe I was a little bit good at it. I don't know. So people used to say, Karthik, just take us out to Europe. Here's a little bit of cash and, teach us how to do this, man. I said, okay. So shows like that are very interesting, and I like shows like that. Things like Food Unwrapped. You know, you go to China to that little village where they make that little bean for Red Bull and then see if it's really something that gives you energy. So I like stuff like that. It's both educational and it's entertaining. And I think that's where sort of I will shine. So there you go. Now you have my life plans for the future.
You'd be great at a show like that. If you do get your own travel show, though, will you take me and Kyle with you somewhere?
Absolutely. Because now that you're going to publish this on your, podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody who's listening to this and say, you know what? That monobro might actually be good. We want the big K on our show, man.
Yeah, listen up, TV execs. We've got your star right here.
Absolutely. So that would be fun. So that's on the presenting side. And Sean is more for the acting side, just to see if I have what it takes to make people laugh or cry. And, you know, Hollyoaks, EastEnders is on TV, there's movies, that gentleman who worked in the Skins, Dev Patel, was it? Who came in, you know, who became famous because of Slumdog Millionaire. So, you know, it all starts with one step.
It does.
If you don't tell people that you're available, then you're not going to get picked. So I'm trying to tell people that I'm available. That's all.
Who says it can't be you? Of course it can.
I wrote to Chad on Twitter. He got back to me, sweet chap, and I said, Chad, do you have any contacts in the US? So you know, you never know. So he's seeing if something can be done there. But of course, people know me more here in the UK. You know, so the motherland.
Yeah, you could be off to Hollywood, Karthik.
Well, yeah, big dreams, and then I wake up. Let's see.
No dream is too big. You should know that.
The US, but
yeah. Yeah, but say no dream's too big. You know that, don't you? You got to go for it.
No dream's too big. You can't dream if you don't dream it. Then you can't achieve it. Right?
Exactly.
If I did not dream of getting on The Apprentice or on Big Brother or writing for The Mirror or speaking on this famous podcast with you lovely people, then I would never have gotten here. And here I am.
Well, here you are.
Karthik. And if I can do it, anybody else can do it as well. So your accent, your look, you know, your background, nothing matters. If Karthik, somebody like Karthik can do it, yes, you know, I've got a sunny personality and beautiful good looks, but if I can do it, then so can you.
Everyone's got a chance as good as everyone else.
Absolutely.
Karthik,
and, you know, people like me are what we are. You know, we are an inspiration to some and a freak to others. But that's what makes the world go round.
Who doesn't love a freak? It's great to be a freak. Be different.
French guy and a girl from Greece. They make a freak, you know. But yeah, no, my parents are.
No, Karthik, it's been absolutely amazing chatting with you. We've loved having you on. And we look forward to reading your column every week to see your thoughts on each episode.
Thank you so much. You've been very kind. It's been an absolute honour. And you've brought a smile to every listener's face, I'm sure.
You have, I'm sure.
You made me be who I was on your show. So thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
You too, Karthik. So don't forget, In Reality is recorded every Wednesday and we'll talk about all of our favourite shows that are on TV at the minute. If you've missed any episodes so far, you can find them all on iTunes and Audio Boom. Don't forget to give us a subscribe and also leave a comment. But once again, thanks so much for joining us, Karthik, and we'll look forward to reading your first column tonight on The Mirror.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be on a talk show and actually have something to plug.
Plug away.
Cheers.
Thanks, Karthik. Bye.